Welcome to Shaped by Scripture. This month, we'll continue walking together through Scripture, helping you memorize it, understand it, and live it out in practical faith-shaping ways. Here's what we believe. When God's Word takes root, it bears fruit. It reshapes how we think, reorients how we live, and renews how we love. Scripture doesn't just change moments, it changes lives. So wherever you are today, pause for a moment. Take a deep breath. Open your heart to what God wants to say. And let's continue this journey together, allowing our lives to be shaped by Scripture.
Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, and today we have a special bonus episode in our Built to Last series. Over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about God's design for marriage and the home. And in our most recent episode that aired this week, we looked at Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, if we're not careful, we might hear that verse and immediately think, well, that's just for married people or for parents or for families. But today, I want to make something very clear. Psalm 127 is not just about marriage. It's about trusting God as the Lord. It's about dependence. It's about who we build our life on. And that applies to every believer, no matter what season of life they're in, no matter what shape their life is in. So today, I'm joined by a friend, a brother, a legend, I think I could say, a godly man who's walked with Christ for many years as a single adult. His name is Jimmy Sizemore. Jimmy, man, thank you for being with me today for this episode of Shaped by Scripture. And honestly, it's our very first special episode, the very first one that stands out on its own.
Well, I feel honored.
I couldn't think of a better guy to really launch this with. Now, before we jump into Psalm 127, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you. We've spent some time together, but all of the listeners may not know who you are. How long have you been at Lone Oak First Baptist?
Almost 20 years now.
20
about
years.
About 19, yeah.
Fantastic. And you've served in a number of ministry roles here at Lone Oak. Tell me about some
yes.
of the places that you've invested.
Wow. I've been a deacon for probably 15, 16 years now. I've been in the finance committee, the personnel committee, nominating committee. I've served with Upward Sports. I've been coach, referee. I've done mission trips with Upward. I've been all over the church.
You know, I think that when you were walking in to this recording, we remembered that our first time to meet was actually in this office complex before we had it finished out. We were renovating this annex building, and we were all sitting out there when I came. You were one of the final gatekeepers that prevented me from becoming the pastor. not preventing. It was a great meeting.
It was.
A table full of business dressed, intimidating, godly people, and it was really a delightful time. But if you were to walk into the setting at first, you would think you were getting ready to go through the ringer.
Well, I don't know about the ringer. It was definitely a lot of godly people, and you could feel the Lord's presence in that meeting.
We're
blessed to have you,
man. Thank you. We're so grateful to be here. But I do want to note, when you were on my, if you were on my side of the table, walking into a room full of people that are the next phase to whether or not the Lord's calling you to a church, it's a frightening experience.
I can imagine.
But you all have since the beginning all the way up today, and it's been over 2 years. I mean, we're really hitting that 2.5 year mark. The gracious spirit of Lone Oak is alive and well.
Absolutely,
it really is. So
it is.
Tell me, we're going to transition to 127, Psalm 127 in just a second, but tell me, what does this season of life look like?
Right now, I just had a birthday this week, so I'm getting, been a little reflective this week.
What's the number?
It's 59 now.
59. Has anybody sung happy birthday to you?
I have had happy birthday sung to me.
I'm so glad you said that, because I didn't want to have to sing it on air. I will for you, Jimmy. I'll sing.
I will not put you through that or the listeners. So.
I would sing to you.
I know. I know you would.
That's, so 59.
59. So a few years from retirement. So we're, you know, that's kind of where I'm looking at, you know, what's next for me, I think. So I'm getting, you know, I've still got a few years left to work, but it's close enough now. I start to think, well, what do I do after that?
Yeah.
And it's, so I got to start planning, got to be prepared, and I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah. Well, you have an incredible skill towards thoughtfulness, and there's no doubt that you're going to be ready for it, and you're going to make much of it. So, but in particular, what we need to call to bring to the surface, and it's a reality that is your life, but it's the whole purpose of this conversation is that you are a lifelong single man.
That's correct.
You've never been married.
Never been married.
Any kids?
No kids.
No kids?
No.
This is what I brought you here for, because I think, and we're going to get into a number of different topics today, but one of the things that I shared with you that I was hoping that we could bring to light here at Lone Oak First Baptist is the reality that we have single people in our church, and sometimes church, particularly when we're walking through themes like this, which are important, you know,
yes,
built to last. We've got to talk about marriage. We've got to talk about parenting, because that it's a big part of
absolutely
raising up the next generation to pass the torch to. And we don't want to neglect that, but at the same time, even though there's emphasis during particular seasons where we need to focus on talking about parenting or marriage, we can't forget that there's a large demographic of single people in our congregation.
That's correct.
They have lives, they have ministries, their life matters.
Yes.
And so that's really what I was hoping that we could get into to help the church see how does a single person, if they don't know, how does a single person look at the church, interact with the church? What does it mean?
It's kind of hard to answer that question. I think everybody is so involved with their own lives,
mm-hmm.
and you know, we may not notice those that are, you know, sometimes as a single person, sometimes we feel a little left out.
Yeah.
Everything is so family focused,
yeah.
You know, especially older singles, I think, because maybe their families are moving on, or, you know, their children are raised, or, you know, so now they're kind of at the point where, well, what do I do now, and what's my role, and where's my place? And so I think that's, you know, important for singles to figure out.
So tell me, you're knocking on 60's door, right?
Just yes.
Turned 59.
That's right.
Through your 20s, through your 30s, through your 40s, through your 50s now, almost wrapping them up. Not yet. We don't want to get you there too soon. But over the decades, has it always felt the same in the church? Or could you see that as your life was seasoning, that there were shifts in the way you saw church?
Well, and I think a lot of it is, it's not that the church, I think, has a different perspectives. It's how you view those perspectives, I guess.
So, yeah.
You know, in my 20s, and to be perfectly honest, you know, my 20s was not church focused.
It wasn't your banner year for
being
involved in. I think a lot of people could say their 20s weren't their banner years.
No, those are not the years I want to look back on and say I was proud of those what I did in those days. Yeah. So no, but it was a much more internally focused time.
Yeah.
Looking for, you know, education and getting career started, and
we gotta start over.
It's okay.
You were muted. Isn't that great? All right.
As long as we can make it on time.
All right. This is Shaped by Scripture. We are on episode 6. This is the bonus episode. We're talking about unless the Lord builds the house, Psalm 127:1. We're talking about singleness and the kingdom of God. This episode's being recorded on February the 11th, 2026, and should air sometime around February 14th, 2026. My guest is Jimmy Sizemore, and I've got Jimmy here with me. We're going to get started in just a second. Welcome to the Shaped by Scripture podcast. I'm Scott Thomas, and today we have a special bonus episode in our Built to Last series. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about God's design for marriage and the home. And in our most recent episode, we looked at Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, though the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, if we're not careful, we might hear that verse and immediately think, well, that's for married people, that's for parents, that's for families. But today, I want to make something very clear. Psalm 127 is not just about marriage, it's about lordship, it's about dependence, it's about who builds your life. And that applies to every believer. So today, I'm joined by a dear friend, a faithful deacon at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and a godly man, I would go as far to say a legend, Jimmy Sizemore, who has been walking with Christ for many years, and he's a single adult. And so, Jimmy, I want to thank you for being here and giving us an opportunity as a church to hear about this particularly important topic.
Thank you. Appreciate to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Now, Jimmy, before we dive in, again, the purpose of this episode, it's a bonus episode. The purpose of this episode is because we're talking this month in a theme called Built to Last, God's Design for Marriage and Families, the purpose of this episode is to make sure that as a church, even though we're emphasizing marriage and families, that we don't overlook a key demographic within our church family, which are the single adults. And we've got many of them.
Yes, absolutely. Probably more than people realize.
Oh, I think so. And not only do they attend our church, but they're remarkably invested in the ministry.
Yes.
You, for example, you've been at the church for how long?
19 years, almost.
Mm-hmm. And give our friends in the listening world just a give them a 30,000 foot of the different areas that you've been involved in the life of the church.
Well, I've been deacon. I've been in the on the finance committee, personnel committee, nominating committee, activities committee. Been active in the upward program with as coach, as referee, as just pretty much all the hats in the upward. Been on many upward mission trips.
Yeah.
Been on international mission trips.
And you led a life group for a while.
Yes, I've had life groups, Bible studies.
Everything. This guy's been involved in every aspect of life. As a matter of fact, we were rehashing just a little while ago. One of the very first times that we met was when I was in the interview process, seeking God's wisdom on whether he was calling me to Lone Oak First Baptist Church. And we were meeting with different committees, progressing up to what would ultimately become a churchwide vote. To call me as the pastor, and one of the first gates that I had to walk through was meeting with Finance and Personnel Committee, and Jimmy was on that committee.
I was on the Personnel Committee, yes.
Yeah, and so we were looking at a room of about 20 remarkably intimidating business-dressed people, gentle souls, obviously. I think that's one of the prerequisites to serving on a big committee at Lone Oak, because you've got to be a gentle soul.
Absolutely.
But it was an intimidating room to walk into.
I can imagine from your perspective it was.
It was, but as always, you all were so good.
It was a very, very godly presence there that day. The people there, just people that I always look up to, and it was an amazing group, I feel.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's a good memory. Not every time that a pastor goes before a committee is it a good memory, but that was a good memory.
No, it was. I do. I remember it very well.
So, Jimmy, you've outlined just like, I mean, you've touched almost every aspect of the church in a ministry position. And those are just the ones you're mentioning.
Yes.
There's things that you've done that people will never know about, from picking up trash to helping with side projects that just needed a little extra muscle. You've done it all.
We've been there.
Yeah. And so that's what I think that's one of the reasons the Lord is bringing this up, because we need to know that even though every ministry and every emphasis that we have as a church is not purely towards the single population. The single population is in our church family, a part of our church family, and a critical part of investing in the kingdom ministry at Lone Oak First Baptist Church, and you represent that.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's the singles are just, well, they're part of life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the world we live in now, you know, in every aspect of life, there's singles involved.
Yeah.
And that's church. And
I had an interesting conversation actually today, this afternoon, with a man that is involved with business development downtown Paducah. The singles demographic in Paducah and McCracken County is actually growing at a more rapid pace than any other demographic unit in our city.
Wow.
Yeah. So we saw, there was approximately this past year, they reported approximately a 5% population increase. Singles grew by 8%. And so they're outpacing every other demographic by themselves.
Wow.
So
now the question there is it singles moving to the area, or is that married couples becoming single though?
So that's for another episode, Jimmy. Let's not get into that.
Yeah.
I'm just quoting the statistic here. We'll psychoanalyze that at another time. All right, tell me about yourself. What's the season of life look like? You've had a big week with a big day. Tell everybody
I'm turned 59 on the 10th of this month, which was yesterday.
59 years old.
So I'm moving into that fall season of life.
Fall. Tell them what you mean.
I'm getting, close to, I've still got a few more years to work, but it's time for me to start making plans for what I do next.
Yeah.
I'm not going to work forever, and I'm looking forward to the next season.
Yeah. Well, you know, Lone Oak, we're going to put you to work.
Absolutely.
And you're ready for it. I know you are.
I look forward to that.
So you turned 59. You've had somebody sing happy birthday to you?
Absolutely.
So yes. I don't need to do that now.
That's correct. They sang to me at Patty's the other night.
Very good. Well, on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you for not subjecting them to what I was going to subject them to. But you know I would have sung to you.
You would have sung, and I would have been very appreciative.
You're 59. You're single. What has singleness looked like for you across the decades?
Well, I'm lifelong single. I've never been married, no kids. In my younger years, living more for myself, more secular, more, just trying to get the career established, establish the friend base, the church was not the priority in my 20s.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I got older, it became more of a priority. And a lot of that was probably also, with my mother praying for me, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. So 20s.
God bless a praying mother.
Yeah. So 20s not the best.
20s not the best.
When it comes to the years that we want to put up on the wall with a plaque, that's probably not your best ones.
Probably not, no.
But then your 30s, the Lord started
working on me in my 30s.
Yeah.
Started getting back into church, getting back into realizing that I know I'm missing something. I know that something's not there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, I'm doing what I feel like is all the things, but I'm not getting the rewards from it. I'm not getting the satisfaction from it. Oddly enough, and I'll just keep this brief. My sister, I have a sister that's 16 years younger than me, and she is, she's watching her and her husband. She was doing all the things. And matter of fact, she's a missionary now.
Yeah.
And, watching her and my brother-in-law and their family and their friends and the stuff that they had in their lives, they didn't have material things, but they had, they had the friendships, they had the deep friendships, those weren't superficial things. People that would do stuff for them, people that, that were invested in their lives. And I didn't really have those people invested in my life. I had people that I could call up and we'd go have a good time or something, but I didn't have people that were putting quality into my life. Watching my younger sister and the life she was leading, and the reward, how rewarding it, you could see that it was for them. And, so I started to, well, what am I doing? What am I not doing? And, And, you know, and then I, you know, started to pray about it. I got back into church. I got active. And, you know, and that's where I discovered the more I invested in the church, the more that the investment came back to me.
Mm.
And, you know, staying active, staying, you know, serving. And, that, you know, that was kind of my main theme there for, you know, for 15 years was, you know, staying active, staying serving. And, you know, what I put into it is what I got back from it.
That's an entire conversation that I think we need to have, not today, but I think that's an entire conversation that we need to have with so many church people is, and they think, well, I'm not getting anything out of church. And, you know, from the ministry side of things, because you've been so invested, our first question is, well, what are you putting in? You know, yeah. You're drifting in on Sunday morning, 5 minutes late, and then drifting out as soon as the church is over. It's no wonder you don't feel connected.
And not, I don't want to sound critical, but you know, singles are very much drifters like that.
Yeah.
And you know, instead of investing in ministry or serving, you know, they're looking, you know, they come to church and they look for ways to be served.
Okay.
And then, so they're not putting in the effort, so they're not receiving the effort.
So why do you from a single person, in your opinion, you're 59, you've gone through all of these decades in the church, and you have the perspective that so many don't have, which is what it's like to be a single person in churches, particularly in a church that has a remarkable emphasis on families. So why is it that you think that singles come into the church and are that way? Does the church lack the opportunities, the pathways, or is it on the person, or is it a combination?
I think it's a combination of all. I don't feel like the church is, they're not avoiding singles, or they're not, you know, not being there for singles. But I think maybe part of it is the church doesn't really know how to serve singles.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a hard question, because a lot of times singles don't know what they need or what they want, or, yeah, you know, so it's, you know, it's kind of hard for the church to provide that when the single person's not, you know, they don't know what they need.
Yeah. Yeah. That is, in every church I've served, this question's come up, and God's been really gracious in my ministry settings, Jimmy, to allow, me as a pastor to have great relationships with single people that are either in the church or that God brings to the church. And so we always have this question of what do we do? And most of the key leaders that would help in developing those ministries, man, there's a sense of nervousness. And one of the primary nervous ticks that seems to be recurring is single people have incredible flexibility to come and to go.
Yeah.
They don't have the rigidity that maybe a married person with kids has, where they don't have as much flexibility to come and to go, to travel, to pick up. And so a lot of times churches are like, well, how do we invest in people that may be here 1 week, but may not be here for 3 more weeks?
Right. That's a big thing with the singles as well. It takes a lot of commitment,
yeah,
for a single to have that discipline, but it's a, you know, you've got to be engaged and you've got to hold yourself accountable, and the accountability, and it's sometimes hard to hold yourself accountable.
Let's go to that topic. I was hoping that we were going to get there. But we're going to go ahead and just jump into it. I want to get your insight, particularly for younger singles that may be listening. I want you to share with them, I mean, what's some guidance as a Christian? And this could be a female single person or a male single person, but as a Christian person that's also single, we know the Bible doesn't say that being single is a sin. As a matter of fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he talks about the advantages of singleness for the kingdom.
That's definitely the way you have to look at it as a Christian. I mean, you can't say, "Oh, I'm single. I don't know what to," you know. You've got to be a little bit forward, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said a minute ago, you're going to get into it. You're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah.
So you got to serve. That's the first thing.
Just roll your sleeves up and get in there.
Just get it. Just do it. And do the old Nike slogan. just do it. I mean, because nobody. I mean, people are going to offer you opportunities to serve, but they're not going to. You know, they're not going to twist your arm. They're going to give you an opportunity and you got to take those opportunities. Sometimes you got to literally step out in faith.
Yeah.
Take a risk and just do it, you know.
Yeah. Try something.
Try something.
It's really the same counsel that we have for people in other stations of life,
yes.
Which is, listen, get involved. Like if you see something needs to be done, get involved. Ask. Particularly at Lone Oak, we've got over 3,700 members. We have a variety of places to serve, but there's so much going on. Sometimes we forget, I need to recruit somebody new to step in. And so I try to tell people, even particularly during like our new member orientation, just ask to get plugged in.
You know, if you have ideas, if you see something that, you know, the church is lacking, you know.
That's good. Here's one of the advantages that I've found that single people in particular bring to the congregation. Because 20s, 30s singles that I know have an ability to travel a lot more, either personal travel or work travel, they have exposure to really great churches in other areas that are doing some fantastic things that we may not have heard about
absolutely.
Yet. And so I'm like, bring it back. Like, hey, go work. Go vacation, go do whatever you're going to do. But when you come home, bring something back with us.
Yeah.
You know, bring a good idea. Visit churches while you're away and tell us what they're doing, how they're doing it, what they're doing well, and bring share that knowledge with us.
Yes.
Yeah. And then just make it happen. Even better, do it with excellence.
Offer to do it.
Yeah, offer to do it. Hey, listen, we heard this really awesome ministry. I'm going to do it and I'm going to pay for it. That's what we love to hear, isn't it? You've been on the committees,
absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let me give you one last question to sort of wrap up our time. I want to just say before we get to this last question, I want to say that, man, I am so thankful, Jimmy, that you accepted the invitation to come on to this podcast and have this conversation. I think that this can be. It's probably not the last conversation as a church that we need to have about singleness, the kingdom, and the church, but I believe that it is a critical moment when a leading single adult in our church and the pastor are having these conversations and the church is listening in.
Yes.
I think it is it's a pivot moment.
Absolutely.
It could potentially be a tipping point if we will continue to follow what the Lord's opening up.
Absolutely.
And so I want to thank you for that. All right, this verse that we're studying this week, again, we're in Shaped by Scripture. This is a year-long theme. We're seeking to know God's Word in our mind and hold it in our heart through Scripture memorization. We're in Psalm 127:1, talking about if the Lord doesn't build it, we labor in vain. If the Lord isn't watching over the city, we are staying awake in vain. If it matters, I don't know that singleness necessarily matters, but from your perspective, tell us what that verse has meant to you, what the Lord has taught you as you've been learning it, reading it, and meditating on it.
Well, if he's not building it, it literally is not, it's in vain.
Yeah.
And I know that from personal experience. Just knowing, you know, in my youth or my, you know, young adulthood, you know, the stuff I was doing for me personally, you know, and for my own, you know, for my own gratification. And I did not have the Lord at the center of my family, of my life, of my, you know, he was not the main focus, and
he was the consultant, not the builder of your life.
At that point, he probably wasn't even the consultant.
Oh, really?
I was just doing what I felt like, needed to be done, or you know, I wanted to do.
Yeah, I appreciate the transparency there.
And it showed. The results showed. The life showed. It just showed that I was not. I was not doing what I was meant to do.
Yeah. So now the Lord's changed your heart. You gave a little bit of that testimony a little earlier on. The Lord's changed your heart in respect to some of that stuff. What does it? Your life is notably different today than it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, particularly in your 20s. What does it look like now? Because you have been building your life. The Lord's been building your house.
Yes.
And what does it look like for you to just maintain that posture?
Well, it gives me focus.
Yeah.
You know, it gives me purpose.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just aimlessly, you know, you can't build a house with just throwing boards together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to have a plan. You got to have a purpose. You got to have what's your goal, and you know, without God being the focus of that goal, of that purpose, then it, you know, like the scripture says, it's in vain.
You're bringing out some incredible key points. Having a plan, having a purpose. We've talked about this over lunch before, just what the plan and what the purpose means. You got to set it up. And you've got to be responsible for it. You got to take the initiative to get involved in church, but you also have to take the initiative to establish what are the priorities in your life going to be, and who are you going to allow to guide and direct your life? And it's got to be the Lord.
It's got to be the Lord.
Otherwise, it's just you're going to get to the end and realize I don't have any contentment.
You're going to have a house built with no screws. You know,
It'll eventually crumble.
It will crumble.
It'll crumble, and you will be left in vain. Nothing, emptiness.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we won't have any weight to it. Jimmy, man, I am so thankful again that you accept the invitation to have this conversation. I knew it would be a rich conversation. I think that we could continue talking. If it's okay with you, I haven't asked your permission, but I feel like you're going to say yes when I announce it over the air. If we have single people in our community or congregation that could use someone that's walked that path before and give some guidance, would you be willing to have that conversation with them?
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes, I would.
I know you would say yes when I said it like that. I think that there's so many that are grappling with, how do I interpret this? What should my perception of this be? Why do I feel this way in this context? And you've walked that. And more importantly, you didn't give up. You pressed on.
Right.
You followed the Lord.
Right.
You still have... The Lord's not done working on you. There's still areas of your life where you're growing, developing
every day.
But you know where you've been in a more objective way than perhaps you ever have before. And I think that you could bring some incredible guidance and wisdom and insight to people in our church. And I would love to offer them. Hey, if you're listening and you're a single adult, you know, we're talking out of college in your professional life. If you're a single adult and you'd like to talk to someone that's really thought these things through and applied himself in the local church and seen just kind of a fruitfulness from that, man, let me know or reach out and we'll get you connected with Jimmy or someone in a season similar. Ladies, if we need to, we'll get you connected with a lady that's got some similar experience.
I would be remiss if I did not mention you have to have a mentor also.
Yeah.
You know, the Paul Timothy
mm-hmm.
Concept. I mean, you know, Bob Martin has just been a tremendous role model and mentor for me.
You know, I'm glad you bring it up. And that may end up being what your retirement plan is. After this podcast, sure. It's going to go viral and you're going to have 50 appointments a week. There would be no question if that happens that that's where God was taking you anyway.
There's so many people at this church that have invested in me as well. I mean, the staff, the ministers, I point Bob out because we've had a special relationship mm-hmm. for many years. He was one of the first people I met at this church. I was a little apprehensive about coming to Lone Oak because it is so big.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's so many people, I didn't think I was going to know anybody.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes no sense at all.
But, no.
But Bob just, he just took me under his wing. And, so that's, I mean, you need a mentor, you know, and that's what that's been for me. So.
That's a good word. All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in to Shaped by Scripture, our very first special episode. We were talking this week, Psalm 127:1, about unless the Lord builds it, we labor in vain. And this was a particular episode gauged towards a conversation related to the perspective of a single person in the local church. I'm so grateful that you joined me and my special guest, Jimmy Sizemore, for this special episode. We pray that you will continue to seek God and experience being shaped by Scripture.